we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Welcome to a Friday here in beautiful Brevard County. I love Fridays. It's my day off. So I'm praying that the weather is going to be really nice today. The past several Fridays have not really enabled me to get out and do some of the outside work that I wanted to because of the weather. But hopefully today will be a different day. So thank you for tuning in. My name is Bob Arthurs. I'm the pastor of Merritt Assembly of God. You're listening to the Refresh Radio broadcast brought to you by the Saints at Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street. And we would love to have you come out and join us for a worship service. If if you do not have a church home, if you're new to the area, we would love to have you come and worship Jesus with us. We are not the largest church in town, but we do have wonderful people, really friendly, love God, and want to be a blessing to our community. So this coming Sunday, we will have Sunday school at 9:30, worship service at 10:30. Sunday night service will be at 6:30. Actually, this coming Sunday night, we don't have service at 6:30. Sorry about that. It is our fifth Sunday celebration, and so if you do come and worship with us on Sunday, please come planning on staying for our lunch that we have after the service. It's a potluck dinner, and we really have a good time and get to sample a lot of different foods. So that's coming up this coming Sunday immediately after our service, and then we have Sunday night off. So those are the things that are coming up. If you'd like to come and be a part of us, I do want to mention to you on Wednesday, the Rich and Tammy Stevens, of the Stevens Family Singers, they will be in our vintage service at 11 a.m. and they are going to be singing, ministering in song, sharing their testimony and ministering the Word of God. I went to Bible college with them a long, long time ago, and in a land far, far away. And but they're going to be, it's going to be about the third time that they've been with us, and they are very, very gifted at what they do, very talented musicians, and they will be a blessing to you. They got, I think, three songs in the top 100 on the Southern Gospel charts. And so it's a free event. We will be taking up a love offering for them on that day. And so if you don't have anything else to do that day, come and be blessed by some wonderful music. So we're going to go back today to Genesis chapter 13 and look, we started talking about yesterday creating a culture of peace in our homes. And so I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but in verse 7, the strife between Abram's herdsmen and Lot's herdsmen began to build. And so in verse number 8, it said, "So Abram said to Lot, please let there be no strife between you and me and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren." So yesterday we ended up talking about the strife that existed between Pharaoh and Abram, and that was caused by Abram telling, you know, getting off on a foundation of deception. The strife that is appearing now, it's touching Abram's household. It's his nephew who he has, you know, ended up raising as his son, trained him in the family business, and both of them are prospering. Okay, so that is a great thing. They both now have their own employees, but they are now battling over the resources that are necessary to sustain these flocks that God has blessed them with. So that's the situation, and it's not necessarily strife between Abram and Lot, but between their employees, between the herdsmen of Abram and the herdsmen of Lot. And that's where the strife is beginning to take place. And Abram steps up to the plate and he says, please let there be no strife between you and me and any of these other people. Let's make sure that we have a culture of peace. Okay. I believe that our churches should be a place where there is a culture of peace. The scripture says, warn a divisive person once, warn them a second time, and then after that, don't have anything to do with them. And it's not, you know, that it's to be punitive. It's that there's something powerful that happens wherever there's a bond of peace. And so Abram says, whichever way you want to go, you go, and whichever way you don't want to go, I will take that. God's going to bless me wherever I go. And so I'm going to give you the choice. And so Lot chose the place of superficial blessing, the place of natural abundance. He looked and he said, that's where my flocks are going to be able to prosper. And so that's where he chose. And Abram said, fine, I'll go over here, because he had already seen and learned that God was going to be able to take care of him and provide for him. When you leave and you're on a journey with God, you soon learn that he is going to be the provider for you. And an interesting thing from when my kids were growing up is every night when it came time for them to go to bed. Now, a lot of times they didn't want to go to bed because, you know, that meant that they were going to have to go to sleep. But not one time did they ever lay their head on the pillow wondering whether or not the electric bill was going to be able to be paid, or wondering whether or not the mortgage was going to be able to be paid, or the rent, or whatever. They didn't worry about any of that sort of stuff because it wasn't their responsibility. They knew that mom and dad were going to take care of the finances, and so they never allowed those sorts of financial situations to deprive them of the peace that they would need so that they could lay their head on the pillow at night and go to sleep. And they all slept wonderful. They didn't all sleep at the same time, but they slept wonderful. So we had one that got up really early of a morning. We called her Little Miss Morning Sunshine. And then we had others that liked to stay up really, really late. And so you kind of slept in between those two windows. But I encourage you that if other people seem to have chosen the better part and you seem to have gotten the leftovers, God's not a leftover. God is your provider. He is Jehovah Jireh. He will provide for you. He will provide supernaturally. He will move heaven and earth to make sure that you have everything that you need to be provided for. And so Abram said, let's do whatever we have to do to make sure that there's no strife between us, but instead there is peace and there is unity. And so I want to take you to Psalm 133. I want to set the stage for you today of the blessing that is available when there is peace and harmony in our homes. And it says in verse number 1, Psalm 133, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. And so I want to ask you today, how would you like to live in a place where God has commanded blessing? to reside. I mean, we get excited whenever there's an unexpected blessing, you know, a blessing that just appears, you know, even if it's just for an episode, people testify about this and about that. And it's a kind of an intermittent, unexpected blessing, but it's a blessing nonetheless. And we get excited about that. But what kind of environment would it be for us if we realized how important it was that there was unity in our homes? Now, somebody told me this. It wasn't a Bob Arthur's original. But my wife and I have at times during our marriage had moments of what we call intense fellowship. Intense fellowship, where, you know, there was a difference of opinion, and our temperaments are a little bit different. You know, she has no trouble sleeping whatsoever. I mean, sometimes she even waits until her head hits the pillow to fall asleep. I, on the other hand, am a person that sleep is sometimes a challenge for me. It's not that I don't rest. I mean, it's that sometimes my sleep is not real sound. And if we have ever had one of those moments of intense fellowship, I take the scripture very seriously. It says, "Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." And so and by the way, I've heard I've read some articles that showed up on news sites and saying, you know, that's not a thing that you really need to address anymore. If I've got the choice of believing the word of God or believing some modern pseudo relational expert, I'm going to choose the word of God. And when God says that it is in that relationship's best interest not to let the sun go down on your wrath, that's what I'm going to choose. And so if there was a lack of peace in our relationship, I'd say we're not going to sleep until we resolve this situation. And that resolution for some people only comes when they hear, okay, I was wrong, you're right. That's not resolving the situation. I'm saying, you know, sometimes you need to be the one that needs to admit, you know what, I was wrong. The Bible says we would be better off being wronged than going to court and having some outsider solve our dilemma. Okay, that's what it says in the New Testament. So I just want to encourage you, don't mistake peace for an absence of conflict. There are some people that never resolve their issues. They go around the same mountain over and over and over again, and it's just that sometimes they're going around a portion of a mountain where they're not fussing and fighting, but instead they're sweeping things under the rug, and it's building up, and it's just like volcanic pressure. You know, the pressure underneath the surface is building, and then there's going to come an eruption and a release of all that pressure, and then the pressure will subside, and then they'll wait for it to build and stuff all over again. That's not the way that God wants to deal with it. He wants to deal with our problems at the very root, at the very source, so that we get to move on. How many times do you want to go around the mountain? You know, I believe it's in Deuteronomy chapter 1 where God says, y'all have gone around this mountain enough. You've gone around this mountain enough. How many times, you know, how many times would you have to come home intoxicated and then there be a horrible episode before you said, you know what? I think I could help solve this problem by not going out drinking. It's just a thought, you know. I could probably solve our arguments over money by not buying X, Y, and Z. I could probably be a better steward of my finances. I'm telling you, there are solutions, God-given solutions, and that will help create a culture of peace in our home. So Let's look here at Psalm 133. It says that it is good and pleasant for brethren to dwell together in unity. You've got to realize that it is a good, that it is a desirable thing to have a culture of peace in the home. And I will tell you this, that the only lasting peace that you are ever going to have is when Jesus is Lord of the household and every person therein. You might have a nice temperament, but I'm telling you, without a foundation of Jesus in your life, there will be no lasting peace. He is Jehovah Shalom, the Lord, our peace. So you and I, we need that. But it says that this unity that exists, it is like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, the running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. When there is peace, when there's a foundation of peace in our homes and in our relationships, it is going to have an effect on everything. And it talks about upon the head, on the beard, on the edge of his garments. It's like the dew on the mountain descending upon the mountains of Zion. It just has a, you know, if I can, a trickle-down effect. It just coats everything that it comes in contact with. It's not just going to reside at the top, but it is going to permeate the entire household. And so I encourage you today to see that as a desirable goal and say, God, I want peace that affects my physical well-being. Do you know that worry actually creates some physical ramifications in your life? And so we need peace instead of worry. We need peace in our home because, you know, whenever there's a situation of strife or discord, it's also going to have some physical ramifications. Your blood pressure may go up. Your adrenaline may go up. There's a number of things. And all of a sudden, you can find yourself battling a situation physically that's because we allowed for a situation of a lack of peace. Okay? And now I will tell you this, I believe that if there's anything that the devil has deemed valuable enough to steal, I believe it is valuable enough to fight for. Okay? And so if the devil's coming to try and steal your children, if he's coming to try and steal your marriage, if he's trying to come and steal your peace, it is valuable enough to fight for. And I will tell you this, this mild-mannered Midwestern boy, if someone, and I tell people, if you want to see my demeanor change, you mess with my wife, you mess with my kids, or you mess with the church. And all of a sudden, you will find that I am willing to fight for unity. I'm willing to fight for unity. I say, we're not going to have strife. We're not going to have discord. We're not going to have fighting and all of that sort of stuff. We are going to be a church of peace. We are going to have peace in our household. We're going to have peace in our marriage. We're going to have peace with our kids. And I'm willing to do whatever is necessary to make sure that that is a reality. I believe that my kids are worth fighting for. I believe that my marriage is worth fighting for. And if the devil has deemed something of such great value that he wants to steal it, don't let him deceive you in telling him and telling you that it's worthless, that it's not worth fighting for. It is. It is. And so verse number 3 of Psalm 133, it says, "For there the Lord commanded the blessing." And that's what I really want. I want the commanded blessing of God. And so Abram told Lot, he said, "You take your herdsmen and you go wherever you want, and I'm going to go whichever place you don't choose." And God is going to command a blessing for us there. And he said, I don't want there to be any strife or discord. And so, I think it's kind of a sign of immaturity on Lot's part that he chose the best. I believe that he would have been better suited if he had discovered God's provision in the wilderness, I believe Abram had a little bit more maturity about him that he would have been able to withstand the allure of Sodom and Gomorrah. But Lot looked for the easy way. Peace, to maintain peace, it's not going to always be the easy way. It may be the most difficult way. And so, but I do encourage you to fight for it. We'll look at next week how Abram actually had to go and rescue Lot before Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. Abram had to go and rescue Lot, and so there wasn't a long-standing attack or lack of peace between the two. Abram, when he found out what had happened to Lot, he said, "Saddle up, boys. Let's go." And so he said, "I know this. Wherever I go, God's going to command blessing for me, and I'm so thankful." And listen to what it says: "For there the Lord commanded blessing, and it says life forevermore." There's another translation that says, "For there the Lord commanded blessing, even life forevermore." Life takes place where there is peace, where there's unity. Death takes place. There's separation. There's hostility. There's all sorts of negative things that take place because of strife and discord. So let's not have that named among us, shall we? Can we agree not to be contentious with one another? What would that look like? You know, there's plenty of headlines that are being made around the world with people of faction of a religion warring against another faction of the same religion. There are all sorts of hostilities there between the two. But could we have the body of Christ be a little bit different, where we are not known for our intra-body struggles? Instead, we are known for our love one for another. You know, because I'll be honest with you, I'm not in competition with the other churches around here. We're not. We are in competition with the drug dealers and the prostitution. We're in competition with alcoholism and substance abuse. We're in competition with the kingdom of darkness. That's who it is. And we need the spirit of unity. We need the commanded blessing. How could we expect that God is going to send a lot of new converts and new believers into a church if there's not any life in the house, if there's not any peace in the house? He wants to make sure that those people are going to be nurtured and taken care of and trained in the things of God. So I pray that over the past couple of days that you have seen that there's a lot more blessing that is available through peace than there is through strife and discord. We got a few minutes here, so let me just touch on this. It's in James chapter 4. It says, "Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, 'The spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously, but he gives more grace.' Therefore, he says, 'God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble.' Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. Okay, so we're gonna stop there and comment on this here. It says, if I can simplify this, you got, you know, maybe you could spend some time going over James chapter 4 this week. He says, where do wars and fights come from? Or where does strife and discord? Where do all of these hostilities that come? It says it basically boils down to this. It comes from your selfishness, where you have desires and you lust and you don't get, you murder and you covet and you cannot obtain. And so you're looking to take from other people because you are not content with God's provision to yourself. And I'm here to tell you that if you and I can ever get to the place where we have a servant's heart instead of a selfish heart, you will suddenly find that strife and discord are going away and peace is coming. I do want to touch on this. Verse 4, it says, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? We are called to be a light of invitation to the world to a better way of life. I'm here to tell you that not everything that the world has to offer is better. You and I are called to say, to give an invitation to come out of darkness into light, not to try and make the light darkness so that we are more appealing to the world. We've got the better offer here. Life is better than death. Light is better than darkness. And so I want to encourage you, as the time is winding down here, I want to share this with you. The Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously. Now, God's jealousy is not like man's jealousy. We get jealous because we are being deprived of something. God wants us to have his very best. And so the Spirit of God yearns in us for the things of God to be ours, because that is what is going to make our life the highest quality life that we can have. And so I want you to know that the Spirit of God right now is longing for you and longing for me to be people of peace, of people of prayer, people who pursue holiness. Let's create a culture where it says this: we are going to submit to God and we are going to draw near to God and we're going to allow him to cleanse us and we are going to humble ourselves, because that is going to be what produces the blessing, the commanded blessing, life forevermore. Father, I just pray right now that each one of us, God, that we would realize how desperately you long for us, and may you not be disappointed. May you find us. We'll see you Monday right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Everybody I know says they need just one thing. What they really mean is they need just one thing more. And everybody seems to think they got it coming. Well, I know that I don't deserve it. Still, I want to love and serve you more and more. You're my one thing. Save me from those things that might distract me. Please take them away. Purify my heart. I don't want to lose the eternal for the things that are passing. 'Cause
trouble I have when the world is gone if it isn't for the love that goes on and on.